about this. Maybe I just enjoyed it, but I don't, you know, does it seem like something that every, and of course she's, when she says green light, then I go, okay, we're doing it. So, and it has to do with pride. And I think that, you know, a lot of us are familiar with pride and we understand how that impacts our lives. And at what stage does pride really impact our lives? It can start impacting our lives like when we're little children, little tiny children, right? And we get prideful because we don't want to admit we're wrong, or we don't want to ask for help, or we, you know, we just think we can do it all. And it happens at every level. I mean, it's just something that's probably something that's almost a natural, you know, kind of concept in human nature. It's just something that comes out in us. And I think when you go and define pride, you sometimes have a problem with the word, because some people like to make pride always bad. And as I was doing some independent research with pride, of course, we have the concept of people who, you know, it's good to take pride in your own work. And that's just a sense of what we do, that we want to make sure we're not just mediocre. It's a concept that when you have an employer, or when you do Manatech things, or you do whatever you're going to do, you always want to take pride in your work. And that's just a concept to me of doing it in the most excellent way as possible, putting 100% behind what you do. And so you can be, and it's not the negative pride, but it's a concept of that you can be prideful that you gave it everything you had. It doesn't matter what the results turn out. The idea is that you put all your best into it. You put, and then when you look at the bad side of pride, of course, that's where we become proudful as it appears to other people. I think pride, that's the negative pride side, is always as we promote it outwardly. And there's plenty out there. You know, it's the pride of men that make them feel that they're better than their fellow human beings, the pride that causes them to think that they don't have to follow rules or respect laws or you know, respect other people. That's the kind of pride we're talking about, the negative side of pride, and what it really troubles us, because it significantly impairs our interrelational abilities. And that's what we want to talk about today in regard to doing Manatech and doing network marketing, because pride can severely hamper your ability to be successful in this business. Because what is this business all about? It's about interrelationships with people. Whether it's your upline, your downline, your crossline, your whatever, it's all about, this entire business is about interrelationships with people. So that's why it's so important to do the Clemmer type work and understand what's holding you back, what kind of sunglasses you're wearing, what's stopping you in terms of building the trust relationships, have to be right, the competitive nature, the, you know, all the different things that we carry, the garbage, the knapsacks, the rocks that are freezing us or causing us to have impaired social interactions with people. So we're impairing our ability to grow in relationships with people. And so all of the things that we see that are stopping us, and pride is a huge one. And so we're going to focus on that today and talk about how it impacts you, and maybe some you know, important ways to look at your life and how you're dealing with people and how you're growing your downline and all those things, and say, well, how could I be better? And that's what our goal is. It's always about how do we stay in that green and growing stage instead of the ripe and rotting stage. So let's take a peek. Let's just lay some foundation. Let's just kick it off and lay some foundation around pride. This article, Pride the Problem, that was it was in Network Marketing Times. That was written by Terry Brady. And she subtitled it, Six Ways to Catch Your Ego and Claim Your Victory. So how do we quash that ego? How do we stop that pride from exerting itself and taking control in our life, which is always going to hamper the relationship that we have with people? And she brought up some ideas in her article, as well as I have added a few too, that just kind of where, you know, what people have said about pride. And John Maxwell, who, by the way, spoke at Lydia's Church this weekend, which is pretty awesome. He was here in Dallas area and spoke at Gateway Church. John Maxwell said, the root of all conflict. Pride is the root of all conflict. And you can see where pride can cause a lot of conflict in your life, because right away, what are you doing? You're putting yourself out as being better than someone or something else. So it can create an instant conflict creating, right? If you look at the Brian Clemmer work, and I started thinking about that, of course, Brian's been heavy on my mind for the last, you know, month or so, and continues to bear some weight for me. And I started looking at some of the programs that run people's lives and focusing on their relationship with pride, and one of them came out really huge for me because it was one of my programs. I had this need to be right, and how many of us can raise our hands and say, yeah, that happens to me a lot too. And, you know, where is that rooted? What is that pair of sunglasses rooted in? And it really is, it's pride. It's seated in pride. And because that need to be right is proudful. It's about, and that's, and you can see all the conflict that need to be right creates in your life. I mean, if you can't see it, boy, it's screaming. It's everywhere, you know. So there, you can see it in the Clemmer work. You can see it in Scripture, of course. In Proverbs, it talks about pride comes before the fall. And you know, there are other verses out there that as treat, you know, display pride as well. And so you know that it's one of those negative. And the opposite side, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit is humility. And if you look at distinguishing pride and humility, it's incredible. In fact, there's a great quote. I came across a quote that said as follows: pride makes us artificial, humility makes us great. Isn't that great? Pride makes us artificial, humility makes us great. And here's another quote that I came across. Pride is an admission of weakness. It secretly fears all competition and dreads all rivals. And I thought that was kind of cool, too. I like that one. So there are a lot of good quotes out there. You might, if that's an issue for you, and for a lot of us, we don't even recognize that it's prideful, but we operate from pride in a lot of different ways because it kind of hides itself in different ways. So we need to be careful that we're not, you know, putting ourselves out in that regard, because every time we operate from that level, it always is a sense of superiority, a sense of not having to be above the law or above the, you know, other people or above other concepts or know it all or have to be right. All those things fall into that category. Now, yes, go ahead.
Hi, could you please just repeat that last quote about pride is not admission of weakness?
Yeah, great. Sure. It goes like this: pride is an admission of weakness. It secretly fears all competition and dreads all rivals.
Thank you.
That's a good one, isn't it? It's a great one. I love that one because it hammers to me home the whole concept of need to be right. Right? You know, we want to always overpower people around us with conflicting ideas and concepts because we need to be right or we need to be in control, and that's very prideful. Because it's an admission of weakness. Because why? In effect, you're trying to protect yourself. You have to exert this pride to protect your own ideas because you are weak. Strong people don't need to have pride.
Good point. Because,
yeah, follow me? Because the strength comes from being open and willing to hear out everything and be a consensus thinker and somebody who can really grapple with issues and make everybody feel a part of the solution. That's a strong person. There's no weakness there. There's no people who are prideful have cracks and crevices in them because it's their way or hit the highway, and that's crazy. It's crazy stuff. And we see a lot of that in many areas of our country today, in politics and other areas. But I don't want to go that direction. That direction always frustrates me, so I stay away. So the next becomes a fine line between pride and confidence, because some of you might have a hard time distinguishing, well, Mary Jo, what about confidence? And people who know Mary Jo know that I come from a very high level of confidence. You know, in fact, my mom would always laugh. She said, I think you were born with it. You came out of the womb being confident. You even had a confident cry. I go, geez, thanks, Mom. But confidence is supremely important in our life. I definitely want everybody to understand that's something we all should to strive for, is a level of confidence. But her comment in here was the concept that confidence turns into pride when you're unwilling to involve others in your success. That's an interesting way of putting it. I think there are other distinctions to draw between pride and confidence. And I did a little Google around pride versus confidence, and I'm just going to share with you some of the things that came up in that regard. That pride stops learning because of feelings of, I got it, I'm better than this, I've heard it before. Pride puts blame elsewhere versus how can I get better. Pride creates mediocrity. Pride focuses on our needs versus needs of others. Pride is the enemy of true confidence. Pride is false confidence. Ooh, that's a big way to look at it, too, because it gets to cover up. Being proudful covers up weakness. What is true confidence? Real true confidence is a belief that you can do something, strong in your identity of who you are, people who really know who they are, what their basic core values are. Experience creates confidence, a history of successes. Confidence is real. There are true reasons supporting a person's confidence. Confidence is about understanding and mastering fundamentals, right? And of course, for us Christians, we know the more humble we are, the more he's able to work with us and lift us up. So our confidence is raised by the humility we have. And that's a beautiful way of looking at it as well. So anyway, so what's important when in looking at concepts in network marketing like team building and networking and relationship building, you always want to be including other people in your success, always. And you always want to be taking a perspective of how do I make them feel like it's their idea and it's their success and it's their part of the process, not me, me, me. And so I'm going to suggest to you there's no room for pride when you get into network marketing and team building and relationship building, and that's what we're all about in Manatech. And that's really what we're all about in life. Truthfully, that's what our life's about, and it's a life that we choose. How do we impact lives? Well, we're not going to be impacting lives when we come from a status of pride and proudful nature. Like, perhaps in the public today, Donald Trump is getting tremendous publicity, and I don't know if there's a more proudful man on the face of the earth, but that would be an example of excessive pride, right? So be careful of that. We step in it. So here she gives us, the rest of the article went on to try to talk about six signs when pride turns into problems and how to take action to correct it. So it's about us being ready to acknowledge it and look at what we're doing in our network marketing business perhaps that's really causing us problems. We may not even see the problems it's causing, but we're wondering why our business isn't growing, why people aren't following us, why people aren't, calling us every day trying to hear what we might have to offer or say or getting our advice on things. And a lot of that starts with that big famous word, pride. One of those signs, she says, let's start with the first one, wanting to correct people. And I thought it was cute that she said, nobody was assigned the gift of reproach. In other words, that we're not given the right to criticize. No one's given that as a gift. Yet a lot of times in network marketing, when people constantly are asking us questions, we're always telling them what to do. We're trying to correct them. We're putting all this emphasis on. And there's a fine line. Because some of you say, well, Mary Jo, a brand new associate, what do they know? And I go, yeah, they come to you for advice. But how can you turn it back? How can you turn that into something other than correcting them, reprimanding them, telling them they're wrong? I mean, because I still have people out there that have been doing this business a long time that still do that with their people. And it's so degrading. It's diminishing of the people. And it comes from a sense of pride that I know more. I have more experience. I. Well, the minute you start doing that stuff with me, or with yourself, always recognize where's the emphasis. It's on the I. And you're already going down the wrong path. So when you start bracing yourself and start talking about that and defending yourself in that way, then I want you to step back and say, wait a minute, what did Mary Jo say about this? Where's the focus? The focus isn't supposed to be on me. It's supposed to be on the other person. And this is true about prospecting, educating, trainings, everything. The focus is always. In fact, let me suggest the focus of your life is on other people. And that doesn't mean you don't, treat yourself nice from time to time and you totally ignore yourself. It just means interpersonal skills, interpersonal relationships, when you're working with other people, always focus on them. What are their needs? What are their wants? What are their desires in life? What are they accomplishing? And what a blessing you become in their lives. And nothing greater than my experience just this weekend around this family that came and stayed with me and how I could pour into their lives. Be at their son's graduation, do all the things, and just be with them. Sit at the kitchen table, just ask the lots of questions. Just kept pursuing, what's going on for them, what's happening. We talked a little bit about what's happening in the country. We talked about a lot of different, but just hearing them out and really talking and just having a blast to listen and communicate and ask questions and just be totally entrenched in them. And that's the beauty that we have to offer. That's the beauty of people walking away from you and going, I wish I lived next door to that lady. I wish we lived, you know, we could spend every day together like this. That's those kind of comments are the ones that you want to get fed back in life, because then you truly know that you are contributing and you're making a difference. So correcting people and making them, because every time you correct somebody, what do you make them? Inherently, you make them wrong. And people don't like to be made wrong. So what's another technique you can use when you're working with new associates and perhaps they're going down a path that you, in your opinion, based on your experience, think is not the highest and most effective way to do something? Now, there are many techniques you can use. You can go, you know what, and here's the haughty one, here's the prideful one. I've been in this for 12 years, I'm a silver presidential, you know, I can tell you how to do this. Now, well, la-di-da, so-so, that's really effective. Remember, the concept of people respecting you comes out of who you are and your beingness, not what you profess yourself to be. So, right? So you want people to respect you because of how you perform and what you help them create in their lives. So instead of saying things like that and throwing your weight around, like you know it all, da, 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 and this is how you have to do it, and this is it, you can, you know, to me, it's all about asking questions. So when people say some things, and I go, well, let's think about that. Let's think about your approach here. Is there another alternative to what you're doing? Can you see something that might, you know, be more effective? And start brainstorming with them. But do it in a brainstorming fashion, not a telling fashion, not I my way or hit the highway fashion. It's a brainstorming fashion. Why do you do that? The same reason you do it with employees, the same reason you do it with children, young children, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old. Here's the reasons. Number one, it gets them to think outside the box. You want them to think differently than they're already on track of thinking, because if you let them continue on their track, they would do it the way they have it structured. But if you can help them say, is there a more effective way to do this? Can you think about how it might be more effective if you took a different action, if you took a different tactic towards that? And they might go, well, what do you mean by that? Well, and you can just kind of give them some ideas, but you don't tell them what it is. You just kind of throw out directional things. So their thinking starts shifting. And then when that 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 10-year-old teenager, right, or whatever, starts thinking about it and comes to a different conclusion and comes to a different, whose idea does it then become? Their idea. And that's phenomenally empowering to that human being. And it also is a lesson that they're learning, that instead of just forging ahead with ideas that they have and just running with them, maybe it's a good thing to bounce that idea off of 2 or 3 or 4 other people to see if you can't fine-tune it, or maybe just totally redirect it because it was so off base to start with. Notice how prideful people don't tend to include others in their success or their failure. They'll tend to blame others for failure, but they tend not to include others in their success. When in reality, there are so many brains out there that can help support you make better decisions, why not tap into those resources? And that's what our life should be about. So that should help you. Just the concept of how to ask questions to allow people to take a different tact or take a different approach, or at least open their mind up that there might be something more effective, a more effective way of doing things than the approach that they're taking, without telling them exactly what they need to do. Have any of you ever discovered in life that how many exacts are there? I mean, if we take our faith out of the picture and we look at, you know, like how to build a boat, how to build this, how to do this, how to put on a tire, all you have to do is live under my roof and you'll find out that your way is never the right way, because I have a husband that has absolutely his way and it has to be done his way, okay? But there are always a dozen ways to do things. And it's a concept of opening your mind up to allow that creativity to flow, to look at all the different ways and then make a selection of which you think is most effective. But the important thing is that we open our minds to do that. There is not just one way for anything. All right? So that's, okay, wanting to correct. So we're going to move that out of our life. We're going to be better leaders for our group. We're going to be better listeners. We're going to be more contributory. We're going to be more dynamic in our asking of questions versus telling people, and that's going to be our approach. Ask questions, and that's how we learn how to lead, guide, and direct in the best possible way. Number two, talking too much or turning the subject onto yourself. And we tend to do that all the time. We tend to always relate topics to our own experiences. I hear people talk like, and it happens at every level. It's especially unbelievable what I find is when somebody passes away and say, oh, I had a brother that had the same problem and he died too. Well, you think that supports the person who just lost their... It's kind of like, I mean, it's a funny thing. We throw that out because it's the nature of who we are. Or if somebody has some bad times and you go, oh, I had the same thing happen to me, and you'll get over it. I mean, it's... The lack of sensitivity to that human being is outrageous. But we don't know what to say because we're uncomfortable with an awkward situation, so we tend to just relate it back to our own experiences. That's the first thing that comes to our mind is our own experiences. Well, it's not. Is that situation about you? No. Does it have anything to do with you? No. What is your purpose in that person's life at that time? To help love on them, support them, cherish them. Help them walk through a tough, tough time in their life. And when you make it all about you, it's deflecting. And people, when they go through sorrows, they need to go through sorrow. You ever see that? It's like when my kids, when I got my niece and nephew into my house because my brother was shot and killed by his wife, and I brought them in to raise them. And, you know, their mom was telling me from jail that she wanted them on drugs or there were good drugs out there. And I said, you know what? These children need to feel this pain today. If they don't feel it today, they're going to remove it till tomorrow. And tomorrow could be busting up their first and second marriages. It could be dropping out on drugs in college. It could look 100 different ways. But this is this is not a time of hooting and hollering and celebrating. This is a time of feeling the sorrow. And I want to be there with them, for them, to support them as they go through this. And these kids are fantastic today. I mean, I'm not taking any credit for this. I'm just telling you that the concept of the suffering that sometimes we need to go through is just a part of our process. It's a part of life. We have pains in our life. We need to suffer through them, and we need to come out on the other side. But to deny people that opportunity, but be there to love on them, share with them, talk to them, be warm to them, make it about them instead of about us. And I just brought up the downside of sorrows, but it can happen even in great. People can talk to you. I hear people do this too. They go, oh my gosh, I just had this phenomenal trip. I went to Alaska and did that cruise. And the person standing right next to me will go, oh, I did that. Yeah, that was great. Oh, I loved it. You know what happened to me? And I sit back and I watch this happen. And I'm just marveled. What made this other person feel like this was about them? It's amazing. But yet we want to do that. It's natural human nature. We're going to compare it to our experiences in our life. Why can't we just love this person and just go, wow, what did you do? Share some of that with me. I'd love to hear about it. I don't care if I've been on the cruise 5 times. I want to hear their experience. You know why? Because right now that experience to them is golden. The minute I start talking about the 5 times I went on the Alaska cruise, I have just put a fire hose to their enthusiasm and excitement. And we don't see it. So be careful about that. We do it in network marketing when people go, oh, Mary Jo, I just got this woman, she runs a health food store, and I'm signing her up as a new all-star. And I go, oh, I've done that. Yeah, I have a couple health food stars, and you know what? They've been some... I mean, what am I doing to my new associate? I'm quashing her. I'm like snuffing her, like, you're not so important, I'm more important than you are. It's this one-upsmanship when all I need to do is focus absolutely on this person and just be there for her and tell her how excited, and I'm here to support you whatever way you need. I'm so excited. I could just see this be a huge difference for your business and your growth in Manatech, and how exciting it is, how many people you're going to be able to contact and connect with through this health food, whatever it is. But again, stay away from us. Conversations about them, focus on them, and that applies to whatever topic they bring up. Are there going to be times when bringing up something in our past might be able to open their eyes to something different? Perhaps, but again, a limited basis. Be careful you're not quashing their enthusiasm. You're not putting raining on their parade, that you're only there in a supportive role. And you want to always relate about their opinions, their experiences, not yours, theirs. Find out about them. Be focused on them. Concentrating on others. That's what it's about. So that pride stuff comes in, and we have to be all about us again, and the conversation turns south so fast, and people will run the other direction. So make sure we honor people. That's the point here. It's really about honoring people, honoring the results, and being aware of our seemingly need to talk about ourselves or brag or be braggadocious or present ourselves for all the great things that have happened in our lives. Unimportant. I mean, they're great for you, but when you're talking about supporting another person, you really want to make them the center of attention. Number three, okay, so that really covers a lot of the talking too much about ourselves or turning the subject on yourself. It's And I liked her last comment, too. I wrote it up in the article. It said, people will like you a lot more if they like themselves better when they are with you. And that is exactly what happened this weekend with my group of people that stayed with me. They had one of the best times that they can remember having. And that I got to be a part of that, that's my reward. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time because it was all about honoring them. And even when they went on and on profusely, effusively thanking me for coming and having them stay at my house and all this stuff at the graduation at the time I was departing, I just looked and I said, no, I want you to know I am honored to be a part of this process. And I feel so blessed that you thought of me and that you accepted my invitation to stay. I just want to thank you for making my weekend, right? That was my response. And so many of us go, oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, yeah, no big deal. It was great. I'm just glad you could come. Instead of turning it back, you can even take a thank you and turn it back to be honoring to the other person as well. So look at that in your life and see how is that playing out when you're working with people. Yeah. Does it take, a while to adapt to this kind of approach to people? I think it's a part of a process you go through that you just start, when you start really knowing that this world is about everybody else, then it becomes natural. But that's a hard, it's a very selfless operation. And it's not a denial of your existence because your reward is tenfold. My reward by what they said was tenfold. That was great. Than anything that I gave them this weekend, to me, that was my great reward. Okay, so three, talking or thinking lowly about others. How many times do we do that? A lot of people, and this is, again, human nature, a lot of people are out there, and you have them in your organization. You might be one yourself. The people that like to talk lowly about other people because it helps them feel better about themselves. Well, that's ridiculous. It never lifts anyone up to tear somebody else down. It just destroys your character. It's a destruction of character. And if you start evaluating for what it is, then you'll stop doing it. Because it's, when you look at cost-benefit analysis and when we take certain actions, trust me, if we did more of that analysis about how we interact with people, we would be much better communicators and we would have far more substantial relationships with people if we handled ourselves that way. But we don't always do cost-benefit analysis. But clearly, when you start talking lowly about other people, you're losing. And Dale Carnegie said, everyone is our superior in some way. And that's a great quote to use and think about in your life, that everyone is a superior to you in some way. And it also gets back to the thought, one of the things that came up this weekend in a discussion was, it's part of my transformation and the idea that what are some things that really changed me. And one of the things I know I brought up with you guys before in the past was the idea that I was trained in one of my personal development classes, the idea that every single person has a totally different upbringing than I did. They had different family, they had different brothers, sisters, different mom and dad, different schooling, different, everything was different, everything. Different relationships with people, different sports, different interests. And so by the time I meet them at my age of 56 right now, when I meet these people and I somehow don't have room for them or I come with any idea that I know something more than they do, I didn't sit in their shoes. I didn't walk in their shoes. I didn't have that. I look at every person today like I cannot experience what you have experienced. So everything that you have to offer me is something I can't get because I can't live in your shoes. And you are who you are today because of all your catalog of experiences that you've had. So you have a lot to offer me about who you are, why you're there, and I can learn a lot from you. So when you start valuing people that way, it's just a tremendous step forward because now there's not anyone that doesn't have something to offer you because they all have incredible value. One of the principles that she brought out in the article that I really liked was the Benjamin Franklin one, and I think this is one you, quote you can put up on your wall as well, although his languaging leaves a lot to be desired. Sometimes it's awkward. But Ben Franklin said, he said, "I resolved to speak ill of no man whatever, not even in a matter of truth." And what is he really saying here? He's saying, I'm not even going to, even if it's truthful, I'm not going to say anything if it's bad. "But rather, by some means, excuse the faults I hear charged upon others, and upon proper occasions, speak all the good I know of everybody." Isn't that a beautiful quote? It's a great quote. Maybe some of you want to post that up if that's an issue in your life and you find yourself falling into, trapped into that. We all do. I mean, I know I do from time to time. I can find myself doing that and I go, whoops, what's that? There she goes, a little judgment going out there, you know, and I have to be very careful. And I have members of my family. One in particular that always kind of irks me a little bit because she's very different from me and she lives a kind of a crazy life that doesn't follow my walk with the Lord nor many other things, but I need to stay staunch in what I feel. I feel that dissing her or doing things like that is never going to be positive. So I just need to stay away from that kind of language and that kind of communication with everybody and anybody and only say the nicest things I possibly can when I speak of her. And it's not easy when somebody's that off the path, you might think, or off the moral path or off the, the development path, but that's the way we should be. And that applies for your downline and your people in your organization. There are a lot of them. You see the weaknesses that they have, and the idea is how do I support them to be better, and how do I honor them in the ways they are better, right? That's what we do. Support them to be better in their weaknesses and acknowledge their strengths. That's what we need to be doing all the time in network marketing, exactly that. 4, being jealous or self-justifying. This is also another thing that came out of Clemmer work as well, but when somebody gets a reward or award, how do we? What's our first reaction? Oh, what did they do? Cheat? Oh, what did they do? That's unfair. Oh, they must have known somebody. If that's the languaging, the self-talk that comes up to you, when you see somebody else get a reward for something, especially when you are up and running for it yourself, when your languaging, your self-talk starts going in that direction, I mean, it's unbelievable how lost you are. I mean, every single time somebody gets an award, and I was there. I mean, I was there for years in my life, so I get it. It's so negative. It just eats you away, and it shows distrust, and it shows, it's terrible interpersonal skills. Jealousy is awful. What we need to do is be incredibly ecstatic for each and every winner in our lives. Even that, if you take your kids to competitions and somebody else won, the first thing you ought to do, of course, go tell your kid what a great job he did in the race, but go and congratulate the parents and the kid who won the race. How many people do that? Next time you go to some competition, just keep your eyes open and just watch and see what really unfolds there. That's the beauty of it. Go to the winner and congratulate and jump up and down and celebrate with them, even if your child was in the same race. Cheerleading competition. You see that happen here in Texas? I don't know about where you guys are, but we had one mother that went and shot another cheerleader because of competition. That's taking this to the nth degree, right? Well, we want to be excited. And when we see other people in Manatech get the Platinum Presidential or make Executive or make National, so many times I see people uplines when they're down, they're upline regional and their downline person runs off and gets to national director and they get bitter about it because they didn't get there first. What? Oh, I was helping her all the time. That's all I did was help. I said, well, why didn't you help yourself? I mean, if you could help her build a national, why can't you build your own national? right? I mean, it's just really incredible to listen to the lack of logic that occurs from people. And to be jealous of somebody in your own organization, that is mind-boggling to me. I pray that somebody becomes platinum presidential in my organization. I will be the happiest person on the face of the earth. No doubt about it, because it has nothing to do with me. It's not about what I achieve. It's about I can support this person to help her be the best she could be or him be the best he can be, and what a glorious day it will be to celebrate what level they achieved. And that's what we need to look at life. So, again, get rid of jealousy. Get rid of comparison. Focus on just supporting others. Get your pride, because all of this, you notice how all this is centered in what? Pride. Pride is what causes us to have this jealousy. Pride is what prevents us from being able to celebrate a victory with somebody else. John Wooden, that was a great quote that she brought up. I thought it was great, too. It's amazing how much we can accomplish if no one cares who gets the credit. And isn't that wonderful? Just come across humbly and don't worry about who gets the credit. It's the same thing that happened politically. You know, we kill off Osama bin Laden, right? And all of a sudden we see this great, everybody wants to give credit to George Bush. And I was just like this crazy, it was like insanity came over this country. Once again, we have to make everything so political. We have to make everything black and white. And it was the sadness of what that's all about. It's a lose-lose philosophy of life, and we don't want any part of it, no part of it, because it's not going to help us in any. It's not going to help the nation. It's not going to help our country. And you and I, it's not going to help us in our manatech business if we take on this win-lose scenario, and because it's not really win-lose. It's lose-lose. I lose, you lose. I show up looking really stupid and ugly, and you're going to show up, and you're going to lose friendship because or fellowship because you won, and I can't tolerate it because for some reason my pride gets in the way. Number five is ranking people on how they deserve to be treated. And I think sometimes this happens in manatech because sometimes we talk about, you know, how, well, this person didn't return my calls, I'm not going to do this, this, or this. We go into all sorts of judgment about people. And does some of that need to take place at some level? I will suggest yes. I will suggest that you can't spend endless hours on somebody that is just not moving. If you've worked with them, trained them, taught them, you got their list together, they won't make phone calls, they won't do this, I'm going to tell you to move on. That doesn't mean you don't still care about them, you call them and drop them a line and love on them. I've got people in my organization today that haven't done anything for 5 years, and I still talk to them on a weekly or biweekly basis because I love them. I have people that used to be executive directors in my downline, and you know what? I still support them financially. I send them money when they go on trips. I do help them out whenever I can. And they don't have anything to do with manatech anymore. Why? Because I love them. I care about them. They're human beings. They're people that Lord put in my path, and I'm going to continue to honor them. And whatever they do about their relationship with manatech is not about Mary Jo. It's a decision and choice they've made, and it doesn't mean that I'm not. But am I going to talk to them every day? No. So there's a certain, you've got to do some time management around it as well. But we like to rank people based on what they do and what they think they do and what they don't do and all. I mean, we got to be very careful. And he talked to us about, you know, why it's not up to us to decide what a person deserves. It's up to us to be nice. And I love that quote too. It's not up to us to decide what a person deserves. It's up to us to be nice. And that one could be another one that you plaster around your office if that applies to you. Because if we're in that always deserve mode, then we're always a tit for tat. I would hate to be married to you because you got that scale going on all the time. And there is no scale. There is no scale. It's not nothing in your life will be 50-50. No giving and taking, giving and receiving will ever be 50-50 in your life. It's impossible. So acknowledging that, we're here to give. We're here to contribute. We're here to serve. And that's what we do. And that's what it is. It's about us being nice. And then the sixth one she brought up is resisting new information. Do you resist asking because you think you know so much already? And so many of us fall into that trap as well. It's that I know it all. I'm right. I have the answers for that. You know. And that gets back to that same concept I brought up at the beginning, which is are you staying green and growing or are you ripe and rotting? You really need to evaluate your life and look at it and say, am I green and growing? And does it matter whether I'm 22, 32, 42, 52, 62, 72, 82, 90? It doesn't matter. if you're not green and growing at 92, then you're going to die. It's the whole thing is about always being open to receive more information, more knowledge, grow that knowledge bank, secure more information, find out what's happening out there, open up yourself to other people's ideas. That's what I love to do today. I send all my stuff out. I say, okay, would you look at this? Give me some feedback. Tell me what you think of it. I experiment with things instead of just, boom, going out and making them and presenting them, and that's done. I like to get the feedback. What do you think is missing? What do you think we should add? How can this be better? It's all about feedback because there's so many great minds out there that can support us. And when we do it on our own, we're isolated to our own inadequacies. I'm limited by my own inadequacies. I don't want to be limited by anything. I want to be unlimited. So keep your mind open to other ideas. And this also gets to those new associates who come in and they try something different. And you right away say, no, you know, I never did that, and I'm presidential, so you don't want to do it. How do you know it's not going to be effective? New ideas are always wonderful to have. And with the fast pace of our technology today, we really need to stay on top of new ideas, or you're going to fall behind so fast. We live in a different world than we did 50 years ago, in a far cry for where we are today compared to back then. So we need to constantly be open to new ideas, new concepts, social media, you know, working on social media, building our business in an effective new way. All of that's available to us, and we need to be open to do that. So, you know, you look at yourself today and just try to find things. What are you struggling on? Were you struggling on something and trying to solve it on your own? Now, somebody on this call might say, well, Mary Jo, I'm struggling with how to build my business. I mean, my managing business is falling off, and I don't know how to build it, and I'm going, great. So why are you putting all the pressure on yourself to figure that out? Are there other, you know, cross-line networkers that are in your organization, that are around you, surround you, in Manatech, somewhere in your community? Well, not really. I don't know. Well, are there other network marketers in other networking businesses? Maybe do some brainstorming with people. Everybody out there, that's one of the reasons why we have these trips, the Bermuda trip. That's why we have national and regional conventions, is to get a mix of everybody there so you can brainstorm with people. Don't try to solve it on your own. There are a lot of other people out there with great ideas, great concepts that can support you and help you be the best you can be. So tap into that resource. It's unending resource. There's no end to it. So you will have it for you forever. I mean, it's out there. And there are always people that will be willing to bounce ideas off you and give you some concepts. I love that in my Marketing Mania program. We have great phone calls. Tonight's another one of our conference calls. And everybody gets to get on and just bounce ideas. They say, Mary Jo, what would you do this? Or what would you do this? And I know I might be part of this, mostly the center of attention to give feedback. But what a wonderful time it is to give everybody in that course, 100 people, the opportunity to just come with questions. Let's have a brainstorming session and just talk about how we could be better. What can we do better? What language could we use to make this better? Because that's what it's about. It's about just improving. How can I be better? And tapping into a resource that's going to help you get there. Allowing others to help is like inviting them to your victory party. I love this. You know, vulnerability is a great characteristic. And vulnerability is about allowing other people to help you. Because in order for you to go out and ask for help, you have to become vulnerable of the need for help. And some of you find the word vulnerability, as I did 10 years ago, as a sign of weakness. Vulnerability, when that came up in my personal development class, I was like, are you kidding me? Me, vulnerable? Not a chance. And it was an incredible process for me to get through that. I know some of you think that's pretty simplistic, but, you know, we all grow up at different times in our lives. But that was a huge experience for me to understand that being vulnerable allows other people to pour into me. And that is so rewarding to them. That just purely from a pure benefit that you give others of allowing them to be able to pour into your life and become a part of your life, that's top on the list of why you need to be vulnerable. But secondly, vulnerability allows you to be open to get other people's ideas so that you can get the much, much better approach. You can fine-tune and tweak and maybe even totally change a direction that you're about to take because you got feedback. And that has happened to me as well in some of the things over the last 6 months. I love watching it transpire because I know it's not me. It's everybody. It's a consensus effort that's making these things happen. And what a beautiful result we get. So open yourself up to allowing other people to contribute because, most importantly, the way that you're going to help to make them feel that they've added something to your life who they felt was perhaps somebody untouchable. And that's true about you, no matter if you're a regional director, even if you don't even have a leadership level today. If you allow your downline to pour into you and help support you, they're going to feel more, you're empowering them to feel greater and to have more confidence about the business because they could help their upline. Geez, what a novel idea, right? We need to do more of that. But the other aspect of it is what others can contribute to you to make you a better person. So both, it's a win-win. Vulnerability is always win-win. There's no loss to that concept. So people, remember I put at the bottom to be great. The enemy of great is being good. So let's put our sights on being great. I hope all of these ideas and concepts helped you today, hopefully in regard to how you're working with your downline, with your family, with your spouse, with all the people in your life. It applies across the board. But let's move pride aside and allow us to be the best we can be in an arena where we're supporting others in the greatest and possible way. And that's all, again, about building the best possible relationships we can. So, great. Oh, Lydia has one. I'm done, but... Oh, somebody sent in a quote. If you throw dirt... Oh, this is in response to talking or thinking lowly about others. If you throw dirt, all you do is lose ground. That's great. I love that one. Put that under number 3 on your outline. If you throw dirt, all you do is lose ground. Yoo-hoo! Great job. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for your contribution. All right, you guys, I love you. Any last-minute comments before we... Yep.
Mary Jo, could I just have one comment? You're talking about how important it is to have others be able to contribute and to join in and to work as a team. But one thing that was missed, at least I didn't catch it, was under jealousy and envy. Being jealous and self-justifying. I've also noticed since you brought up politics that the world of politics especially, people always try to grab the attention for themselves or take credit by themselves. And if you've had a team or contributors to your success, that definitely needs to be acknowledged. It's not just always acknowledging yourself.
Absolutely.
I didn't see that or I didn't hear that or maybe I missed it, but I thought that came to me when you were talking about that subject over
Wonderful.
There.
No, it's very, very true because all of those things are like roadblocks. That jealousy is like a dead end. It's a roadblock. It stifles you. It stops you. And then there's no acknowledgement that can happen on the other side because you're spending time focusing on who? You. Everything's about you, what you're losing, and it's not a loss. You know, we can make losses like this, like I talked about the Osama bin Laden thing. We started making it a big loss. It became a war here. What, and I'm like going, time out. We confuse things in such incredible ways. And it's the sadness that carries forward when we can just, build people up, be confident, be happy, be energetic, congratulate people where congratulations need to occur, and be ecstatic for them. It doesn't say anything less to anyone else. It just is an accomplishment that deserves to be acknowledged. So let's acknowledge, right? So when you think about, let's talk about this because this is a very important concept. When we think about what causes us to act like that or operate like that, I'm going to tell you it's focus, it's that whole concept of scarcity mentality. We somehow think the pie is only so big. So if somebody wins an award, that means we can't have it. Well, in that specific moment, perhaps not, but there are thousands of other awards out there. There's a million other ways of acknowledgement. So with the scarcity thought, it's this limited thinking. And that's what I think when we remove scarcity mentality, we just can be out there and flourish in an environment where we just love on everybody and we just are so capable of being just absolutely ecstatic when people achieve great things. Because it doesn't stop us from achieving great things. It's just a great acknowledgement that they did their thing and we're doing our thing. And, the world's full of great things to do. And, it's just be happy that everybody has an opportunity to experience in the moment and grow as a person. I look at that. I look at, how will this award now affect this person's life to make this person be a better person and make a greater contribution in the world? Isn't that a great thing? That maybe this will catapult them to someday be a great leader somewhere, someplace. I But
well, I think also acknowledgement of the others on your team also catapults them. And when you recognize others, I think it makes you more magnanimous, makes you more of a magnet and attractive.
Absolutely. And, yep. And why do you become more attractive? Because when you acknowledge other people, you make them feel better about themselves. And you know what? People are going to be attracted to people who make them feel better about themselves, right? I mean, if you can go out and make people feel great about being around you, you are going to be loved by the world because they're all. You're going to have this gigantic attraction factor because you make them feel great when they're around you. And you can't do that when you focus on self, right? Absolutely. So it's acknowledging others, building them up, making them feel the best they can be, and that is such a huge play in network marketing. It's huge. We just always want to be there about supporting people. That's why, why do you think all these companies do these huge recognition ceremonies? All this, and that's great, but the problem with it is it's superficial on the corporate level if you don't carry it at your level, right? And what just happened? Let's take it one step further. What just happened? End of a period. All of you can go on Success Tracker, find out who jumped up in volume, who signed up the most top enrollers. You could go in there and have a blast today on acknowledging your people. That's more than when they get a card from Manatech a month later saying, congratulations, you just made regional. I mean, you are their personal connection. So don't forget to go out there and acknowledge people, okay? All right, people, I love you all. Have a great week. And again, if you're interested in the Quantum Leap stuff, you can get a hold of Lydia. I will be doing that book next Monday, so be present for that if you'd like. And otherwise, have a terrific week and kick off this business period 6 in a great way. I just hope you all have a wonderful time and go love on those people in your organization. Okay, talk to you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You bet.